Morning. Welcome. Not too many announcements, just Friday Bible study at 7 p.m. and Sunday worship service at 11. Are there any other announcements?
Yeah, at the services on Friday, when Phil Wilson got up to speak, he was having a hard time being there because he had just heard about his brother-in-law, which would be his sister Carmel's husband, Greg Jones, passed away that morning. And so he would be Albert Helms' son, is that right? And brother to Nicole's husband, right? No, right? Bob?
Nicole's father-in-law, brother to Greg.
Brother to Greg, yeah. Anyway, they hadn't said anything about his funeral arrangement, but remember Rita and there would be their relative to
Funeral is this Thursday.
Oh, it is already this Thursday.
In Hawkinson.
Okay.
So I guess prayers for the family, for sure. Are there any prayer requests?
Not prayer requests, but announcements.
Other announcements?
You guys probably all know that getting older. So anyway, Janae had a baby last Sunday, Janae and Todd, 7 pounds, 52 centimeters, I think. I'm trying to get this right. Her name is Finland Jean McCartney. They want to thank all the people that have prayed for her, and it's a pretty special thing, and I get younger every day.
Also, just one thing, if you're watching any of the services. I'll keep them archived on our website for a while. And if you're watching anything, watch Saturday afternoon's presentation that Steve Worry did on Christian parenting. It's really enlightening. He did a very good job.
Okay, any prayer requests?
Any of the services are very good to listen to if you have a chance. I'll just add that.
Levi will read the Psalm this morning, and Jordan will say the prayer, and Grandpa Tom will give us the message.
Yeah. Psalm this morning is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul that hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Father, we thank you once again for the freedom we have to gather around thy word and fellowship with other believers, and we thank you for beautiful weather, the rain and the sun that we've been having that is allowing the crops to grow, and also just a beautiful time for us to be outside, and we thank you for so many blessings, we can't even count them all. And we also pray for those who are struggling with loss, with those who have lost loved ones. And there's many that have different struggles that we may or may not know about, but we know that you are God, you know all things, you know what we need even more than what we think that we need at times, and we pray that you would give us what's best for each one of us and strengthen us, give us direction for each day, give us direction in our long-term plans, and also just every moment of every day we need your guidance in our lives. Pray for this congregation here today and for all the believers around the world, that the word would be opened, that our ears would be opened to hear, and that we could be fed with the word of truth from the Bible. And for those who haven't yet believed in Jesus, we pray that if there are some who would believe, that they would hear, and that seed of the gospel would be planted in their hearts. I pray for the speaker this morning, and open the word to him, and pray for Church Federation Convention down in Michigan, that it would be a blessing to those who are there and those who can listen to it online. Now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
This song, I'd just like to give you a little update on this song. When Sojourning in the Nearest to the Mountains of Life, this was a song that was written by Steve Purdy, and he was in the Vietnam War at the time, and he was almost released. I think he was only one day or whatever from being released from there, and he was shocked.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from our God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted unto you by that Holy Spirit this hour of service. Amen. This verse in the Beatitudes is very familiar, and before I get to the verse, I'll probably read from 3 to 5. The Beatitudes are like Steve preached on these a few months back. It's like stepping blocks to where God has you. It's what God signed you up for when you were broken, lowly, and contrite, and grace entered, and this is the steps that you're taking. And you'll notice the end, last two blesseds are regard to persecution. So let's just, before we read the sixth one, which we're taking as the text, we'll read 3, 4, and 5 and kind of maybe go through those a bit before we get to 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, he said, I can do nothing without my Father. And we can do nothing without Christ. Poor in spirit means without God, without Christ, without that Holy Spirit, we are absolutely nothing. We cannot do anything. We can't take a step forward, a step back in his kingdom. Because we need him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why do we mourn? What's the purpose of being mournful? Well, there's many reasons, but this is more of a degree of sin, of the fact that we miss the mark. And even though we're Christians, we still miss the mark. But there was a time before we were taken out of darkness and brought into his light that we mourned because our sins were exceedingly sinful and we didn't know where to turn. We didn't know where to look. We didn't know what to do. We were trapped in our sin. And we cried out to God, and God took his hand upon us and took us out of that pit and carried us through that. Why? Because we were lowly. We were broken. We were contrite. And he gave us the gift of grace. The grace that shows favor towards us. The grace that he can only give to change lives. The grace that is comforting. The grace that tells you that he is yours and you are in his kingdom. The grace that picks you out of darkness, brings you into light, and continues to do so. The grace that is God-given, God-directed, and we as Christians also have the unction to give grace. That is part of what we are now that we are part of the kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who is the meekest? If we turn to the chapter in the 12th chapter of Numbers, I'm just going to briefly go through this. It's the time where Aaron and his sister made fun of him because he was, or they were a little bit jealous, put it that way, of the situation. So 12:1-16, God is rebuking Aaron and Miriam. But it's interesting how Moses handles it. And it shows the grace that he has and the meekness that he has. He didn't handle it right away because he was the meekest of all. Some of us would have handled it right away. but Moses didn't. So God came in to handle the situation. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and unto Miriam. Notice Moses, is he's speaking to Moses here as well. "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door in the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses, my slave Moses, is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Why are you talking about my servant Moses? God the Father is showing two things. The ones he calls, the ones he chooses, are important to him in his kingdom to do his will and his way. And anyone that speaks against them, there's consequences. So we as Christians need to understand that for ourselves, that we don't speak negatively of people that God has called, but we build them up in the faith. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon him, Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of the mother's womb. And Moses cried out unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. After that, let her be received in again. There is some consequences for speaking out. And then the discipline was here, God was saying. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards, the people removed from Hazareth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. But the Moses, being meek, God knew his heart, knew how he was meek. He interceded here and says, nobody's going to speak up against my people that are mine without suffering consequences. It goes to show you that God the Father fights for us. When we have the faith of Christ and we're part of his kingdom, he will fight for us. So when people say things about us that are not accurate or not true, notice Moses showed grace. God handled it for him. Moses was not vengeful. Moses did not act and say, "What are you guys doing?" God interceded. Moses showed grace. So there's a lesson to be learned there. The lesson is, we would like to do it our way and handle it our way because we were mistreated, or even somebody else is mistreated. Maybe it's our daughter. Maybe it's our granddaughter. Maybe it's our grandson. Maybe it's our brother. And they are being mistreated. So we act instead of just being gracious and saying, God'll Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will handle this according to his ways and his timing and his will. So we have our text here. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It poses some questions. What created the hunger and the thirsty for righteousness? What are we filled with? Who gave us our righteousness? Who perfected righteousness and why? How do we react to somebody that's being treated unrighteously? Or how you were treated? And how does Jesus react? There's a lot of questions here. But when we look at this, Jesus gives us a lesson in Matthew 26. Verse 53. Oh. This is this section where Jesus is being taken to the cross to be crucified, and Peter kind of acted out and took a sword and took the ear off one of the soldiers. And Jesus asked him to put his sword away and says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Do you not think I could do this? Absolutely. Jesus could have did it right there and then. He did not need Peter's help. But had he have done that, he would have been influenced by Satan. It wouldn't have been a godly thing. And he knew that, being Christ. He says, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. He's telling the soldiers, you actually think this is something that you're doing out of your own will, but it's being influenced by the Father. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So Jesus was saying, I could get out of this situation, but I would not be doing my Father's will if I did. I wouldn't go to the cross. The sins of the world would not be put on me. 3 dark hours receiving the wrath of God would not have been accomplished. Your sins and my sins, we would still be in them. Nowhere to turn. Jesus knew this, so he saw afar off, and he understood afar off. Jesus died, rose again, and took his life back again through the power that he had, rose again on Sunday. Victory over death, hell, and the devil. And his perfect 33 years were imputed to us who are sinners. We get the propitiation of our sins are paid for. We are not guilty because we believe in the work of the cross. Our righteousness is clear and free by the gift of God through his Son. So we get this righteousness that we don't deserve. But we get it because of a lowly, broken, contrite heart where grace entered and faith began. And now you're being set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil in his kingdom to do great things for him. So going back to the thought of how do we react, we know what's right. Righteousness, what's right in God's eyes? We know what's right. If we see somebody that's being not treated properly, there's a few ways you can look at it. Fear will give you a different angle. Faith will give you the act of what God is wanting you to do. So if somebody is being mistreated, you step into faith as a Christian and you say, this isn't right. I'm going to do something about it because this person is not being treated properly. So you step in and you say, that's not how you treat that person. And you might have to stand on some things and some consequences might happen. But you're defending the person that is being treated unrighteously. Or you can step back and look and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I probably shouldn't get involved in this. But I'm going to make sure that this never happens to me. That's a selfish move. So that person that does that choice, makes that decision, this is never going to happen to me. They're going to build themselves up. They're going to put walls all around them to protect them. They are going to be in a situation where that will never happen to them. It happened to this person, but it's not going to happen to me. And they will build walls and walls, and they will have people protecting them on all fours. Building themselves up. It's the road to self-righteousness. It is. It's the road that you will rely on yourself for every decision, every action. But we know, as Christians, we know, no, that's not right. That's not something that should happen. You're wrong in doing this, and I'm going to get involved in this situation, and I'm going to step into that situation and act out of faith. And the reason why we do that is because God the Father did that for us through His Son. He put the wrath of God, the wrath that we deserved, on His Son for us. And we see something that is not right, unjust, unrighteous. Through that Holy Spirit's unction, we will make a move. We will say, you know what? God, help me to do what's right here. But I'm going to step in this situation. I'm going to, by your grace and by your mercy, say something. We have kids. Most of us have children. Most of us have babysat. Some of us have babysat. We all have situations where our kids fail us. They don't do the right thing. They do not handle the situation the way they should have. They maybe didn't do the job quick enough. Maybe they didn't act on it the right way. Maybe they didn't make the right choices. And the simple way to do it, or the easy way to do it, or the inaccurate way to do it for myself was, you know better. You know better. You shouldn't be doing that. That's the easy way out. That's the easy way out. God gave us the whole Bible of information to read so that we can offer grace. We don't act that way because we have grace. God teaches us through questions and gives us the answers. So the process is not easy. It just takes time. What caused you to make that decision that way? What influenced you to do that? And it seemed like the easiest way to do it. So now what do you think? Well, the fence is broken. So what would be the best way to do it? What were the two choices that you had? Because you had some choices. Well, I wanted to get the supper earlier. You're going to have that conversation with that person. Why? Because you're gracious. So what are you going to do next time? I'm going to do it properly. I'm going to make the fence. It's going to take me an extra hour, and I'm going to be late for supper. Whatever the situation is, take the time to explain God has given us this book. Every answer is in it. We need to study it and learn it, and we only can do that through the guidance of that Holy Spirit. So we thirst and we hunger after righteousness. To make the right choices. Who created what created the hunger and righteousness in us? Psalm 51:7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are purged by the work of the cross. We are righteous because of the work of the cross. We are pure, holy, and blameless because the Father is presenting the bride to his bridegroom. What does Romans chapter 7 say on this? What shall we say then? Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought me in all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found it unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might be appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. Sin is exceedingly sinful to the sinner. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. We know one thing, the flesh will never convert itself. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul is talking about the battle. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, the flesh, the old man. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I'll read that again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more me that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The mind I serve the law of God, understanding that we will never fulfill the law perfectly, but Jesus Christ did it for us. but with the flesh, the law of sin. Your flesh will continue to sin. It's very difficult to understand why you are saints, but you are. Because you believe in the work of the cross and because you've been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So what is it that we're filled with? What is it that we're filled with? It says here, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. All the information you need, all the sustenance you need is in the Word. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. Verse 48 of the same chapter. I am the bread of life. Verse 51 of the same chapter. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The bread of life, the word, the scriptures, the information that's in this word. Is the sustenance that sustains us. They shall be filled. The living water. John 4:10-14. He's speaking to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw. See, she's seeing it from a natural point of view. You need something to draw with. The well is deep, from whence thou hast thou that living water. Are you greater than Jacob that gave us the well that drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, the natural water. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him, Jesus Christ, the water of the word, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Overfloweth. My cup runneth over. This woman said unto them, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's asking for it. Not sure what's going on, but she's asking for it. So where does that lead us? We have the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We have the living water and the word. Both the word is important. We have the righteousness of Christ that it was imputed to us when we believed in the work of the cross. The battle is this. We are broken every day. We have a fight. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We die daily. We take up his cross, our cross, and follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you ever remember that chapter, because it's important, because it's the gospel chapter. And in four verses is the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Died, paid, took the he was the propitiation for our sins. We are not guilty because we believe that Jesus died and paid for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He rose again, and we will rise again in resurrection because we believe in the work of the cross. Verse 31 of that same chapter says, I protest rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What are you dying daily from? Your will. Not my will, but thy will be done. This day, Lord, please help me do everything I can so that I am ambassador for you and a representative of you in this world, so that the light through me can shine and draw all men unto him. Help me with this. And God will raise you up in newness of life. Romans 6, 1 to 6. What shall I say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin so that we get more grace? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? How are we dead to sin? It has been paid for. Live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We pray a prayer every morning. Help me that my will is not the example today, but your will through me is the example. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also planted in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man was crucified with Christ, the flesh was crucified with Christ, but the battlefield is daily. The thoughts, the influences of the flesh, the world, and the devil are ever present. And the prayer is, arm me with the armor of God so I can fight against it. Give me the grace to perform it according to your will and way. Father, you were so gracious to us. Give me the ability to be gracious to my enemies. Give me the ability to be gracious to the saints. Give me the ability to make the right choice. So your cup runneth over. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You go in and out through the door and find pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The waters aren't flowing, roaring. It's not a river. It's still, so that you can hear his voice. You will hear his voice because you are his. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What's the paths of righteousness? The 33 perfect years that Jesus Christ led on this earth. Look to Jesus. You've been imputed that path for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm walking through it. It's not a fearful thing. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He chastens who he loves. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That just shows and reaffirms that he loves you. If you're not being chastened, are you his? Though thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Love your enemies. Be gracious to them. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Do you realize, and do I realize, how much Jesus did for us on the cross? You should be overflowing with joy. Because we are guilty, and he has made us innocent. We had a direction. We were going straight to the place of hell, and he took us to the place of heaven. We had a heart that was as hard as stone, and he recreated in us a heart that he could mold. We had our own path, and we are the author and finisher of it, and he took that path away, and he became the author and finisher of our faith. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there any doubt? I don't think so. Goodness, mercy. All the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because you are his. Until the day of when he comes again, and he blesses you, and he brings you home. You are his. Close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this verse. We thank you for the imputed righteousness of your Son. We thank you for the bread of life, the living word, the water that flows, the joy that overflows, the grace and mercy that you've given us, the truth of the word, the gospel message. Father, we are so thankful that you've made sinners into saints. We are so thankful that you continue to be with us through your word and through the saints that indwell here. We ask that you would continue to give us the ability to be bold and confident in whatever it is that you have us doing. Give us the ability to fight the good fight of faith, to die daily to ourselves, so that we can be raised up and exalted by you and be with you in heaven in eternity future. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 474 and Doxology 666.
Lord, hear me.